Holy Gospel for this day is from the 16th chapter of the Gospel of Luke. There was a rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen and who feasted sumptuously every day. And at his gate was laid a poor man named Lazarus, covered with sores, who desired to be fed with what fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, even the dogs came and licked his sores. The poor man died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's side. The rich man also died and was buried. And in Hades, being in torment, he lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham far off and Lazarus at his side. And he called out, "Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus to dip the end of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am in anguish in this flame." But Abraham said, "Child, remember that you in your lifetime received your good things, and Lazarus in like manner bad things, but now he is comforted here, and you are in anguish. And besides all this, between us and you a great chasm has been fixed, in order that those who had passed from here to you may not be able, and none may cross from there to us." And he said, "Then I beg you, Father, to send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers, so that he may warn them, lest they also come into this place of torment." But Abraham said, "They have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them." And he said, "No, Father Abraham, but if someone goes to them from the dead, they will repent." And he said to them, "If they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be convinced if someone should rise from the dead." This is the gospel of the Lord. You may be seated. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. In God we trust. You've heard that before. You know that as the motto of the United States, which, however, was not adopted officially until the year 1957. And it was in that year that it first appeared on our paper currency. But in some ways, it really is ironic that we see words like that on the very thing about which Jesus gives so many warnings. Trusting in wealth, material prosperity, and advantage as if they were the source and meaning of life. He says, "You cannot serve God and money." And he tells stories, especially as recorded in the Gospel of Luke, about people who tried to do that and ended up with nothing. It is a solemn warning to us, for those who are rich in this world's goods but are not rich toward God will have nothing in the end. And the story before us today is another one of those, which is also unique to Luke's Gospel, that presents such a warning as it speaks to us about what we could call life beyond luxury. Living only for luxury and personal comfort can ultimately mean the loss of everything. There was a certain rich man, the story begins. This man had it all. We are told that he feasted sumptuously every day. Another Bible version translates it this way: life for him was like a party every day. Now, there is nothing wrong in themselves with having wealth and money in abundance. Money in itself is not evil. The Bible does not say that it is. It says, however, that the love of money is a root of all evils. Thought of properly, it is the fruit of our labor, and it can be used and seen as a blessing from God. There are several biblical examples of godly persons who were also wealthy. But in Psalm 62, we are reminded, if riches increase, sometimes they will, do not set your heart upon them, for that is always the temptation. It is not the riches in themselves. It is the attitude of the person and whether or not the person regards those things as the true treasure of their lives. Jesus is speaking here to certain Pharisees who were known to be overly concerned about wealth and commerce and material advantage for themselves. That is not unlike some today who preach what we have come to call the prosperity gospel. They say that God wants you to be rich. He wants you to be wealthy. And if you aren't, it's probably because somehow you are not manipulating God in the right way. That is certainly contrary to so much that Jesus himself says. Now, the rich man in this story is also not necessarily condemned because he didn't give anything to the poor. There was something, of course, but it was, again, the attitude of his heart. What was his sin? It was that he had no faith, no regard for God's written word, no regard for God. His motto could easily have been, "You only go around once in life, so get the most out of it as you can." No regard for God at all. He had the wrong center and meaning to his life. Even though he had lots in terms of material wealth, his life was empty, vain, pointless, and totally turned in upon himself. And that is the very definition of sin and separation from God, being turned in completely upon yourself. In fact, it was the original sin, turning away from God and from one another and turning in to self, inward. Well, the rich man also died and was buried, the words say. Now, there is something that is abrupt in those words, and rightly so, because it brings it all to an end. No matter how rich he was, he died, and nothing could stop that. It comes to us all, unless we live until the Lord's coming, for the Bible says it is appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. Such a person might be buried with much pomp and ceremony, but it would make no difference at all. He wound up in what is called Hades. That means the abode of the dead, and it usually means separation from God. In other words, hell. Now, in over 52 years of pastoral ministry, I have had lots and lots of funerals. I couldn't possibly begin to count them all. They were for rich and poor, old and young, men and women, some well-known, and others almost forgotten by everyone. Death is the great leveler. And I assure you that not one of them went to the grave with a U-Haul trailer or truck. They took nothing with them. This man's treasure was only what he could get out of this life and nothing more. But if for this life only, the Apostle Paul says, we have hoped in Christ, we are of all people most to be pitied. That is all he said he had. For he was godless, and now he had nothing. Nothing but banishment from the presence of God forever. But let's understand this very clearly. God sends no one to hell. It is their choice. The choice of those who go there. Now, you and I make lots of choices in life. That's part of being a human being. But of course, we know that we cannot and we do not, of our own strength and will, choose to be a Christian, to repent of our sins and turn to Jesus as personal Savior from sin and death. That is the work of the Holy Spirit from beginning to end through the message about Jesus. But we can choose not to make wealth our God. We can choose not to ignore the deeper meaning of life. We can choose not to despise the Word of God. We can choose to hear it, read it, mark, and learn God's Word. This man made the choice to ignore God, so he chose hell. That, then, is what he would receive. For no one will have God in the life to come if they will not have him in this life. In his torment and suffering, he speaks. But ever the self-centered person, he expects to be served by this poor man, by Lazarus. He pleads that he should be sent to his five brothers to warn them, and even presumes to argue with God about that. Now, the father Abraham, that is a Jewish picture of God the Father. This man, even in death, is not changed. And so it will be for such persons. Jesus is saying, watch out for misplaced priorities in your life. Because if you let them, things can consume you and lead you away from God and away from real, authentic living. And after death, there is no going back. This time in this life is the only time of grace we will ever get. There is none after death. Life beyond luxury is life with God, because there's another man in the story. And this man, interestingly, has a name. The rich man, no name. This man is named Lazarus, which means by translation, God is my help. He had little in this life but misery. And there are lots of people like that in society who seem maybe nameless to us, but God knows them. In Christ, no one is nameless. You aren't. You have a name to God. God gave it to you in your baptism. Child of God, redeemed and bought by the blood of Christ shed for you. And there is no higher honor than that, to have your names written in heaven. But Lazarus died too. There would have been no ceremony, little notice by anyone. He might even be tossed in an unmarked grave. But here's the difference. He was carried by the holy angels to Abraham, that is, to the company of the blessed ones in heaven. As the Bible says, the soul goes to God who gave it. And it is being with Christ, which is far better, out of the body and at home with the Lord, awaiting joyful resurrection. And notice, Lazarus does no talking. He says nothing at all. It is the humility of faith, for the Bible says, be still and know that I am God. He was silent because he had listened. He had listened to God. He was not saved because he was poor, but because he was poor in spirit, humble before God, and rich toward God because of what God gave to him. He had Moses and the prophets. And that was a Jewish way of referring to what we call the Bible. Those are the inspired writings of God's spokesperson, testifying to God's great acts of deliverance, the responses of God's people, the meaning for all time, especially as they center in the Great One promised by Moses and the prophets, Jesus himself, the very one who speaks here. Oh, but the rich man argued. No, that's not enough, he said. Well, lots of people argue with God about that today and seem to be saying the same thing. They are looking for something more, something different than the inspired word of God. But God has spoken in his Son. And the written word bears witness to him faithfully and reliably. There will be nothing more. And it is all we need. So God is saying, in spite of the itching ears of people to hear something more, something different, I call for simple faith in what has been written, because it is sufficient. God has spoken. Resistance is disaster. Indifference is condemning. And waiting and looking for something more is deadly. What about if someone rises from the dead? The rich man thought, well, that would be really convincing. Well, in fact, we know that someone has. And that someone is Jesus. And what did he say? Well, among other things, he said, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever lives and believes in me will never die." He said, "God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but will have everlasting life." He said, "Come to me, all that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest," and many other promises. The Bible is the inspired written record of those who saw him, who touched him, who heard him, who lived with him. It is his powerful message to us, the living, that life is being with him and letting him give us the name of Lazarus, empty of our own righteousness, but richly clothed in the robe of Christ's righteousness. God is my help, and in him we live. We have a life that is beyond luxury. It is life with God, life forever. Amen. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.